thank you so much for coming, Linda. It's a pleasure to have you. And I guess we can start just, what are your best memories of the Multnomah County Library?
Thousands of them, actually. The first one is not a memory, but it's a story that my mother told me, and it's about our family's first connection with the Multnomah County Library. Right after World War II, my parents moved to Portland. They had two young girls. I was 4 years old. My younger sister was two. And we moved into temporary housing in Vanport. They drove into town one afternoon, and that night my dad went out to buy milk for the little girls at the closest grocery store, and he came home not only with the milk, but with a job at the grocery store. And my mom went out the next morning and walked through the Vanport neighborhood, and the first one of the most exciting things she came upon was a branch of the Multnomah County Library. So on our first full day in Portland, my mom got a library card, and she had one in this library for the rest of her life. Fortunately, my parents moved out of Vanport before the flood that destroyed it into southeast Portland, and the nearest library was the Arleta branch. So that is the first branch I remember using. In fact, the three branches that I used when I lived at home with my parents no longer exist. One of them has been replaced with a new building. Two of them no longer exist. The Arleta branch was just off where Holgate Boulevard and Foster Road cross each other. The building is still there. It looks like a sort of colonial revival on a small scale. Mm-hmm. I remember it as a great big building when I was a little girl. And we always went there for books, and it was just one of the best parts of our lives. Later, when I visited the building as an adult once before it closed, I realized that it was really a very small library, a different perspective mm-hmm. of a child. Then we moved out to the suburbs and in Southeast Main Street, around 117th Street. And at that time, our closest branch library was the Montevilla Branch Library. So we had to drive in along Stark to Montevilla, but we had to go there to do grocery shopping, too. So that was great. And Montevilla was in a little tiny house-like structure on a residential street. And both Arleta and Montevilla were ultimately closed and phased out of the library system, replaced with other branches. While we were living out there, commuting to Montevilla to use the library, we heard that a new branch was going to be opened on 122nd, which would be within walking distance of our home, and it was going to be called the Midland Branch Library. So we were there when it opened. For a few months, they also had bookmobile service out where we lived, but that was not nearly as good as going to a library, much larger selection. So I remember when the Midland Branch Library opened, and I used that all through my teenage years as living at home with my parents. While I was in high school, we had to think about what we would do in the future as a career, and that was some time ago, and in our social economic class, the only things girls could do would be teachers or nurses or get married and have a family. Well, I wanted to have a career, at least for a while, and I didn't want to be a teacher and I didn't want to be a nurse, so that was a problem. Mm-hmm. But then I took a test in high school and about what career choices might be, and it showed that librarian was one of a good option for me. And I immediately knew that was what I wanted to do. So I researched what you had to do to become a librarian and went to college at Portland State with that goal in mind. I knew I would have to also go to library school. I needed to work my way through college, so I got a job as a part-time page here at the Central Library. I started just before college in the fall of 1960. At that time, they paid high school pages $0.85 an hour, And college students who were pages were paid $1 an hour. And they started me at $1 an hour, although college hadn't begun and didn't begin for another 2 weeks. Later they told me that had been a mistake. I should have only been paid 85 cents an hour.
It's a good mistake.
But they weren't going to take it back, so mm-hmm. I continued at $1 an hour. After a year in the Stack Service Department, I was transferred to the Social Science and Science Department, where I worked as a clerk with the U.S. government documents. The Central Library was a depository library for federal documents, so we had a lot of them coming in big boxes every day, and I worked alongside the clerk who processed them, then I made sure they got where they belonged in the stacks or in the file cabinets, depending on their outcome. My senior year of college, I was able to work half-time. I was half-time all through college, going to school in the morning, walking down here, and working in the afternoon, and then staying until the library closed at 9, studying. So I was here a lot of hours. When my senior year, I got the chance to be the U.S. government documents clerk. So I was able to use all the knowledge I'd learned working with documents for 2 years. Obviously, that was all good background. I then went to library school at the University of Washington and then came back here to work as a reference librarian in the old Literature and History Department. After several years there, I was given a promotion to be branch librarian at the newly reopened Albina Branch Library. And I have some clippings from the newspaper of the Albina Branch.
Oh, excellent.
And it is just amazing to read them, the things we were doing at Albina that were new and different. When you read them today, this was in the late 60s, mm-hmm. you realize how far libraries have come. At that time, all the branches only had books, but the Albina branch had the opportunity to have audiovisual materials too. Oh. So we had 16 millimeter films and recordings. These are long play recordings. And paperbacks, and I'm just astounded to see that none of the other branches had paperbacks, yet that was a new experience. It's kind of amazing.
So Albina was the first in the whole area.
I don't know if the Central Library had paperbacks uh-huh. yet, but Albina was the first branch. And we opened it in a supermarket. Well, we were in a shopping center with a supermarket as the main business, and then we were in a leased storefront right mm-hmm. next to it. But the storefront was designed specifically for the library. Albina's been moved, I don't know how many times since then.
Oh, really?
But it was exciting to open a new branch. I forgot to tell you something about 100 years ago. We're celebrating now the 150th anniversary of the Multnomah County Library uh-huh. because it was founded in 1864 as a private subscription library, the Library Association of Portland. When I was working for it, it was still run by the Library Association of Portland, although we used the term Multnomah County Library in all our publicity. The county funded it. But the Library Association was 100 years old in 1964. That was the year I was working as a part-time clerk with the government documents, my senior year in college. And one thing the library did at that time was publish a little booklet with the history of the library, the first 100 years, 1864-1964. And it was written by Katherine Anderson, who was a retired, I believe she was the personnel director for the library before she retired. She was retired at the time she did this project. I was so impressed by this library history that it inspired me in 1988, a number of years later, to do a similar project when I was the director of the Riverside City and County Public Library in Southern California to commission a professionally produced centennial history of that library. And my interest in library history and my inspiration to do this project in Riverside was really based on seeing the 100-year history of the Library Association of Portland right here. At that same year, the board of directors of the library, who were leading citizens, who ran the Library Association of Portland, sponsored two events that I remember, and I've kept little souvenirs of them. One was a public event. There were actually two of them celebrating that 100 years of service, and I have the little handouts that we gave out in the library to the public to encourage them to come. One was a lecture by Irving Stone, a distinguished author. Many of you probably recognize his name. That was held at Benson High School for the public on February 7th. And the second was a big open house at the Central Library on Sunday, February 9th. It ran from 3 to 7 p.m. That's a long time for a special event. And we had tours of not only the public areas of the building, but the behind-the-scenes area, which were the public didn't normally get to see. We also had an open house the same day at the Extension Department headquarters on Northeast Knott Street, which was, interestingly, the original building of the Albina Branch Library before it was closed.
That's right.
And they had the bookmobiles there and a bindery. The library at that time operated its own bindery and service to the blind, and the library operated that for the statewide program that is sponsored by the Library of Congress throughout the country. Now that's been taken over, I believe, by the Oregon State Library.
Oh, wow.
And the bindery was closed many years ago. But these were, you know, great opportunities for the public to see some of the behind-the-scenes things that were going on in the library. Now, I was just a part-time clerk in the government documents section at the time, but it was very meaningful. The board of directors of the Library Association also sponsored a formal dinner for the library staff commemorating the 100th birthday on February 15, 1964, and it was held in the Benson at the Benson Hotel Mayfair Room.
An exciting time to be a clerk.
It was, and I was so thrilled about it all that I kept the invitations and the announcements and everything, and little napkins engraved with Portland Library Association 1864-1964. I mean, they really showed me how a library should celebrate its 100th anniversary.
It sounds like it.
It's wonderful. So this is 50 years later.
Oh, wow.
Well, after Albina, I was transferred to the Gregory Heights branch, where I was the branch librarian for several years. And then in 1972, I was promoted by the then library director, James Burkhart, to be his assistant, not an administrative assistant. He had an excellent secretary, but a professional assistant. With no line responsibilities for supervision of staff, but responsibilities to assist him in the general administration, which I did for a year, and then he promoted me to be the assistant director of the library in charge of the Central Library in 1973, a position that I held until November of 1977. And, so I worked in this building from 1960 to 64, again, 65 to 67, then out at the branches for a few years, and then back here from 72 to 77. And I knew every inch of this building, and including the, and I love every inch of this building. Mm-hmm. It, you know, played a big part in my life. The inspiration of the branch libraries I used as a child inspired me to be a librarian. The experience of working here only confirmed that. And then after I got my degree, my career began here and gave me a fabulous start for the rest of my career, which I went to California in 1977 and had the rest of my career down there. But I've always retained a great fondness for the Multnomah County Library, and particularly for the Central Library. I still usually look up at the facade when I'm on the street in front and say, that window was my office. And I remember an oil painting of the steel bridge that hung in my office, and I don't see it in the building anymore, so I hope it's gone someplace good. I was privileged to at least meet all of the directors of the library since the 1960s, since 1960, actually. To know many of them. The day I began working in Stack Service, Mary Phillips had just been appointed to the acting director because the previous director had resigned. And I remember distinctly my new supervisor saying, well, we have a new director today. Actually, we didn't use the term director for the director of the library in those days because the board of the Library Association of Portland, the title of the board members was directors. Mm. So the board members were the directors. And the head librarian was the head librarian. Or actually, in the Library Association of Portland's terminology, the head librarian was the librarian. And so my official title after I was promoted to assistant librarian was assistant librarian. Mm-hmm. In the library world at large, that would have been known as assistant director. But I remember Mary Phillips very well. She was an outstanding director, and her real expertise was in branch library operations, and a number of new branches were created under her directorship. I met William Wood, who was the director during my years as a part-time page and clerk. I obviously worked for James Burkhart, who was the next director, and he gave me the opportunity and the promotions that made the rest of my career possible. I'm friends with Cecile Carpenter, who was acting director for a year while they recruited Sarah Long. I don't know Sarah Long. I met her at professional meetings, but I never got to know her. Ginny Cooper, the next director, I consider the greatest librarian since Mary Frances Isom for this library, was a professional colleague of mine in California. We were both county librarians there in different counties for a number of years. I was thrilled when she got the job up here, and what she did with this library system is absolutely outstanding. She transformed it in many ways. She revitalized it in ways that were responsive to public's needs and interests. She revitalized all the buildings. She saved this building, which, as you might recall, was about to collapse, and really transformed the branch library system with all new buildings in most locations, including the Midland branch. My high school era branch I can no longer go back to. It's not there, but it's been replaced with a beautiful new Midland branch. That's right. When Ginny got the job up here, I was delighted because I knew of her excellent work in California. And by that time, I had been a library director in California myself for a number of years. And I remembered how exciting it was when you got a new job as a director for someone to send you flowers. So I sent Ginny a bouquet of flowers on her first day on the job here, and she sent me a little handwritten note that says, Linda Wood, here I am on day two, and here too are your beautiful flowers, et cetera, et cetera. It's been fun telling folks the flowers came from you. You are remembered so fondly here. Well, of course, I was delighted to read that. I'd been gone for many years. During the time I was the assistant director, I did a lot of jobs for Mr. Burkhart, the director. One of the jobs I did for him was to write his annual report. The Library Association of Portland published an annual report, and it always had a report written, a report signed by the president of the library board, and the librarian generally wrote that report for the library board president's review and approval. But since he was writing that report, he asked me to write his report. So all of the reports from 1972 to 76, I was responsible for writing the librarian's report. Nice. During my career here at Central Library, we did a lot of things that were exciting. When I started work here and became the assistant director, we had an art department and a music department. They were separate. They were right next to each other on the third floor, but the music department was broken up into lots of small rooms, and the art department was extremely small. We remodeled them and made a single department, reorganized to have the art and music department. We eliminated the education and psychology department and merged its collections into other departments. We moved to the periodical department from the second floor, where it had been in the room that is now government documents, to the third floor in the room on the south side of the building, the large public room on the south side of the building. Other exciting things that we did, let me go back. Before I became the assistant director, in the year that I was the assistant to the director, the library had its first of, and I know a number of, major budget crises. $800,000 budget cut in the fiscal year budget in fiscal year 1972-73. Oh, now, wow. I have just come in from the branch libraries where I had been a branch manager, and I hadn't learned about the overall budget yet. Going through the process in May and June that year was my first exposure to the entire operational budget and its approval process through the County Board of Commissioners. But the county was in fiscal difficulties that year, and so this horrendous size cut was proposed. And Mr. Burkhart, of course, the director, was responsible for pulling the budget together and showing the board, or the board of the library board and the county commissioners, what the results of such a major reduction in funding would be. And it was drastic. It was, I think we had 18 branches at that time, although that number would have to be verified. Mm-hmm. The budget cut was so severe that we were going to have to close 11 or 12 of them. Thanks. And lay off 141 employees and cut the Central Library hours back dramatically. In that environment, I learned how about the overall budget very, very fast. and it was breathtakingly exciting and horrific, because it was the destruction of the library system in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And we went to the Board of County Commissioners and explained what this budget cut would cause. And, of course, it hit the newspapers with a great big headline. And the next time we were there on the county commissioners' agenda, the room was absolutely packed with members of the public who were outraged and who didn't want this cut to happen. Of course, nobody wanted it to happen, but the county was really out of money, and they mm-hmm. were in deep trouble. So they begged the library board to postpone the reductions until they could figure out some other way to fund the library. And they thought first, and I know this from looking through these old clippings I have from the from the time because, honestly, I've forgotten the details. But mm-hmm. the clippings reminded me the Board of Commissioners, County Commissioners, first proposed a possible utility tax to fund the library. And they were going to take a few months to see if that would fly and possibly put it on the November ballot. So the library board agreed, yes, we will postpone the cuts. We will, you know, minimize expenditures to the degree we can, because if you have to ultimately make this cut in January, it will be even worse because half a year will have gone by. Mm-hmm. Well, we were very fortunate that year. Actually, this sounds strange. Nixon was president, and he was supporting something called revenue sharing, whereby the federal government would share some revenue with cities and counties around the nation. Ultimately, revenue sharing came through for Multnomah County in time to avoid a utility tax election and budget cuts for the library. So the library was saved. That was my initiation into budgeting for a library system. It was pretty terrible.
Saved by the federal government.
Saved by the federal government. You don't hear that happening today. And before I left, and I'm not sure which year this was, of course the library archives would show, the first serial levy was placed on the ballot for funding the Multnomah County Library System, and it was to become the first of many over the decades until the last one, which has now been replaced by a permanent tax base. The voters did that in the last election, which is wonderful news. But I have a couple of flyers that were put out at that time with the first campaign for passage of a tax to support the Multnomah County Library. And fortunately, the citizens of Multnomah County really believed in their library and trusted it and supported it and kept it going through those tax levies. One of the other very exciting things that happened when I was the assistant director was the introduction of the first computer in the Multnomah County Library. And before I tell you about that, I want to mention that I also remember the first photocopy machine that we got.
Here at Central?
Yes. Here at Central Library. It was in the early 60s. I'm not sure what job I had at the time, whether I was still a part-time clerk or had become a librarian by that time. But we had it on the second floor in the lobby in front of the information desk there. And out near one of the pillars, so it was for the public to use. I can't remember if it was coin-operated or not, but it must have been. It was the very first photocopier, and we were so excited because we saw that as a way to eliminate some of the problems we had with theft of library materials, but even more significantly with mutilation of library materials, where people just wanted one page, and they would rip it out of a periodical or book. Now they could photocopy it and take it with them. So that was very exciting. Well, in 1976, I had the opportunity under Mr. Burkhart's directorship to install the first computerized checkout system here. And I think it was the first one in the Northwest. And I've kept my first library card from that era because it was so exciting to have a barcode that was my unique number in the system, and I've kept a few of the newspaper clippings about the new computer system. I remember three different methods of checkout before, two that happened before the computers, and then this one, which we were able to install. And I got it completely installed at the Central Library, and with the help of some really wonderful staff members, of course. Didn't do it alone. But these were the days of dumb terminals that were all hooked up to a central server. And we had to have a special room created, which is on the first floor to the left of the front entrance, at the back, at the southeast corner of the building, where we have fiction stacks, or part of the popular library stacks, and the holds that are waiting for people to pick up are waiting there now. That was actually a separate room, and we had our server in there. And I remember coming down on Sundays when the library was closed to run. The servers had great big disks in them to store the information. I remember I had to learn how to, we had hired some people to be technicians, but I wanted to know what they did and what the jobs really were, since I was in charge of this. So I learned how to change the disks, and they had to be done. I think we were running backups on Sundays. So I can't remember coming in on Sundays to run that when no one else was in the building. Maybe some janitors.
Must have been fun.
Oh, well, it was exciting because we could do things with this computer that we had done manually for decades, like print out overdue notices to be mailed to people instead of having to manually type them. We had the borrower's records, you know, in computerized form on this system instead of on cards, or there was a system with microfilm records of checkout, things called T-cards before. There was so much manual work, though. Patron registration was a manual file, and it was so exciting to bring this computer in. I got it in the installed fully in the central library, and in several branches before an opportunity opened up for me to move to California to an even bigger job, which I enjoyed and learned a lot more from. And ultimately, I became a director of two different county libraries sequentially in California, Riverside and Alameda County. And I retired from there. I, of course, have always loved the Multnomah County Library because it played such a formative role in my life and my career. And I think nothing other than my family played such a major part in helping me become who I am and to do what I have been able to do in my life. And so I moved back to Portland 4 years ago almost, and of course I have a Multnomah County Library card.
It's good to hear.
And Central Library is my closest branch, and those are some of my memories of the library, and I still feel I know every inch of this building behind the scenes the way it used to be, but not the way it is now, because when the remodeling was done, the whole interior of the closed parts of the building that aren't open to the public were changed. The central stack core was taken out, of course, and replaced with solid floors. We used to be able to drop something from the eighth level of the stacks all the way down to the first level in a little space between the edge of the shelves and the floor. So, and I know about all the pneumatic tube systems that moved requests around from the stack call desk to the various levels of the stacks, and about the dumb waiters, I guess you'd call them, that moved books up and down among the different levels, about the kinds of stacks we had in the basement. We didn't have the moving stacks that we have now, but we had stacks in drawers on one level that pulled out, and so they were more compact than freestanding shelving. And I wish I could see it all again, but that part's gone, and the public areas are just gorgeous. Things are very different. The John Wilson Room used to be back here in we're sitting in a corner of what used to be the John Wilson Room, I think. If not, we're right next to it. And now it has better space for the rare books. But one thing, when I was the assistant director, we brought air conditioning and humidity control to that room for the first time.
But that was exciting.
Well, that was exciting, and we bought some furniture for it that I still recognize up there in the existing John Wilson Room. Yeah. So I owe this library a lot, and it will always have a very special place in my heart.
No, it's fantastic.
What else? Yeah. Do you have any questions?
I mean, it sounds like you've covered a lot of the history and everything, and you're very passionate about it, which is great. And I guess just one final wrap-up is, where do you see the future of Multnomah County going?
Well, I don't really know.
Yeah. Are you excited for it?
Of course. Yeah. I'm thrilled that the library now has a permanent tax base. Mm-hmm. I think that is wonderful, and that's a major accomplishment by the current director, Bailey. Oh, how do you pronounce Bailey's last name?
We'll just call her Bailey.
Bailey. And by the library supporters who worked so hard to make it happen over the years, especially the foundation and the people who worked on the campaigns, the various campaigns. And they now have an opportunity, because of having a more stable and predictable funding base, to do long-range planning that they were not able to do for many years. If you know you have adequate funding for the next 3 years, but after that it's a big question mark, it's challenging to make plans to build new buildings, mm-hmm. to increase operating expenses in any way, because you don't know if you'll have the resources to operate new buildings or keep them going. And so long-range planning as an option is a wonderful thing. Now, I'm speaking now based on my own experience as a library manager and director for over 25 years in California. Mm-hmm. I know what they do. They assess the public's needs and interests and in many ways, and are aware of what's available in terms of information resources and formats, changing ones, new challenges like electronic books and so on. Mm-hmm. And library is very different today than it was when I began, but it's still wonderful, and it's obviously serving the people of Multnomah County extremely well, or they wouldn't support it the way they do, which is fantastic.
That's great, and I'm glad to hear that you're still a patron, too. That's
well,
probably
sure.
The best part about it.
Sure. I still prefer to read books, hard copies, rather than electronic, although I have both.
Yeah. There's plenty of those left still, so they're not going anywhere.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're at the end of our time now. We'd just like to thank you again for coming in sharing all your wonderful stories with us.
You're welcome. I'm glad to do it.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Okay.